My groom, her husband part six, his words left me speechless. I shot that, disbelief fueling my anger. Girl, when you plan to humiliate me in front of everyone to showcase your undying love for Harper, wasn't that cruel to me? When you discarded 5 years of my devotion, wasn't that cruel? The Davidson family played a part in my father's death, and I'm just supposed to forgive them. Isn't that cruel? You couldn't spare time to pick out wedding photos with me, but you flew Harper to Dali for 3 days to take wedding pictures. Tell me, Hudson, what right do you have to feel wronged? I didn't wait for an answer. My voice was sharp and unwavering as I concluded, "Don't ever call me again. You disgust me." With that, I hung up and blocked his number for good. Hudson never bothered me again. I had anticipated that my mother and I would face a long adjustment period in a foreign country. However, to my surprise, I found countless patients here battling the same illness. Instead of intrigue and competition, there was a palpable sense of mutual support, encouragement, and camaraderie. Dr. Morris, the team leader, may be young, but he tends to us with the care and attentiveness of a family head. Aside from the routine of taking medicine on time and in the correct dosage, my mother lives just like anyone else. We sing, dance, and shop together, creating memories that feel less like a hospital experience and more like family moments. For the first time in a long while, I felt the warmth of home enveloping us. The death of my father had been a devastating blow. In that moment, it felt as if my entire world had collapsed. I believed I would never experience the comfort of a complete family again. It was Hudson who stood by me, offering solace and support, helping me navigate through my fog of grief. He promised me a home filled with joy and laughter. Slowly, I began to emerge from the shadows of my father's passing. But just when I thought I had found my footing, my mother received a diagnosis of a rare terminal illness. I crumbled crying until the tears felt like they could suffocate me. I began to notice a subtle shift in Hudson's attitude during that time. He would comfort me, but the warmth of his promises had faded. He urged me to be frugal and to save money for my mother's medical treatment, yet he never offered to contribute a single penny himself. I delicately broached the subject, mentioning that my mother would eventually need substantial funds for her care. I suggested he withdraw the $500,000 my father had invested in his business to help us in an emergency. His response was always evasive. He would claim that the company's funds were currently tied up and promised to transfer the money to my account once the turnover happened. Despite his insistence that he was financially strapped, I couldn't help but notice his expenditures on Harper. Lavish gifts, picturesque wedding photo trips, designer wedding dresses, and a betrothal gift amounting to $880,000. It stunned me to see the disparity between his actions and his words, leaving me feeling more alone than ever in my struggle. Perhaps Hudson had long ago decided not to invest in my mother's care. Fortunately, I had the means to support us. I started writing articles in high school, which earned me bonuses, and later I built a considerable income through serializing novels, writing for magazines, and crafting scripts. What Hudson didn't realize was that the $500,000 he had invested in his business was actually my money. My father insisted on transferring the funds into my name to protect my rights. Even after relocating to a foreign country, I refused to abandon my writing career. By day, I supported my mother in her battle against illness. By night, I poured my heart into my craft. During the drug trial, we only needed to cover our living expenses, as the high medical costs were largely waived. Remarkably, within 4 months, we saw a significant slowing in the growth of my mother's tumor, a sign that the treatment was working. We celebrated this small victory together. Then, in that same fourth month, I noticed an unexpected $500,000 had appeared in my account. Transfer note. Aubrey, I was wrong. Come back, I miss you. I thought I would never cross paths with Hudson again in this lifetime, yet here I was, feeling utterly unwell because of him. Taking the money back felt justified. After all, it was mine to begin with, and he hadn't even bothered to pay the interest. I often wondered how he managed to run a business and navigate his relationships over the years. It was no surprise that his company was floundering. After 6 months of the drug trial, Dr. Renishin's axe. Morse delivered the incredible news. The tumor showed signs of shrinking. This meant that my mother's condition could be managed to a significant extent. Overwhelmed with joy, my mother and I embraced tightly, tears streaming down our faces. This was a moment worth celebrating. To show our gratitude, I made a reservation at a restaurant and invited Dr. Kuntz Morris to lunch, eager to thank him for his unwavering support and encouragement throughout our journey. As I stepped out of the hospital gate, a familiar figure caught my eye. I thought I was imagining things. But as I approached, I realized it was really Hudson. Late winter had settled in, and he wore a black down jacket that hung loosely on his gaunt frame. The dark circles under his eyes were alarming, a stark contrast to the confident man I once knew. He stood at the entrance, hands buried deep in his pockets. In the past, I would have rushed to him, arms wide open, but this time I simply walked past him as if he were a stranger. Aubrey. He called out, his voice breaking the silence. I halted, glancing back, and Dr. Morris looked at him with confusion. Do you have friends from London here too? He asked. I forced a bitter smile and whispered to Dr. Duran. Morris, just a foolish ex-boyfriend. He opened his mouth slightly to understand, an expression that nearly made me laugh. Hudson glared at Dr. Steender. Morris' suspicion etched on his face. Aubrey, is he the reason you left me? How far have you two developed? I stared at him, speechless and in disbelief. Had his brain truly malfunctioned? Anger bubbled within me, but I held it in check, unwilling to give him the satisfaction of thinking I still cared. I replied calmly, Hudson, did you come all this way just to lay blame? You know the reasons behind our breakup better than anyone else. If you don't have anything substantial to say, I am leaving. I turned away, determined not to utter another word. Suddenly, Hudson grasped my wrist. I am sorry, Aubrey. I've missed you so much. I couldn't bear the thought of seeing you with anyone else, so I said some foolish things. I knew you were here with your mom for her treatment, so I rushed over. I want to protect you both. I regret how I treated you before, but you tricked me too, so we're even now. Let's stop fighting and focus on living well together, moving forward. I yanked my hand free, disgusted. Hudson, matters of the heart can never be balanced like that. Why would I ever forgive you? Do you really think I'd want to be with you again? You are out. I will never go back to gnawing on this hard, dry, and prickly grass of yours, not in this lifetime. Hudson's brow furrowed, his frustration evident, yet he forced himself to stay calm. Aubrey, I know you are just lashing out. I won't take it to heart, and I refuse to be angry with you. I cut off all contact with Harper because I know you don't like her. I am here showing you my complete sincerity. What more do you want? I rolled my eyes at him, incredulous.